This is Risky Business News, a podcast with cybersecurity news read and prepared by Cătălin Câmpanu. Risky Business News is brought to you this week by Rumble, the asset discovery company. In today's top story, a hacking group going by the name of Gonjeshke Darande, or Predatory Sparrow in Farsi, has taken credit for a cyber attack that has hit the networks of three of Iran's largest steel companies. Targets included Hormozgan Steel, Khuzestan Steel, and Mobarakeh Steel. The attack took place over the weekend and came to light on Monday when the hackers posted a video on Twitter of malfunctioning equipment. According to a report from the Associated Press, the video showed equipment from Khuzestan Steel, which had to halt operations as a result of the incident. The two other steel companies did not report any work stoppage as a result of the cyber attack. In a series of tweets posted on Tuesday, researchers from security firm Checkpoint said they identified the malware used in the attack, which they named Chaplin after the name of one of its files. Checkpoint said the malware appears to be a new version of Meteor, the wiper used in a data wiping attack against Iran's national railway system last summer. But unlike Meteor, Checkpoint said that Chaplin did not contain any data wiping functionality. Instead, the malware disconnected an infected computer from the local network, logged off the user, and then locked the user's screen with a message listing their past hacks and urging employees to call the phone number 64411 to prevent further attacks. The number is for the office of Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei and has been listed in the gang's previous hacks as a running gag. Currently, it is unclear if the Chaplin malware had any modules that allowed it to interact with industrial equipment inside Khuzestan Steel OT network. Serfa Labs, an organization specialized in Iranian cyber operations, believes that images shared by the hackers on their Twitter account as proof of access suggest that they might have interacted with the plant industrial equipment via another channel, namely via a control panel belonging to IRISA, a company that provides network services and industrial infrastructure to Iranian companies. Serfa Labs says that this software is also used by many other Iranian steel companies and not just the three hacked over the weekend, and did not rule out that Gonjeshke Darande might still have access to other companies' networks as well. Moving on to other news and hacks and breaches, Ukraine's security service said they blocked Russian special forces from hacking into the networks of the Ukrainian TV channels that participated in a national telethon held on Monday on Ukraine's Constitution Day. According to the SSU, attackers tried to access live video streams, live news feeds, and the computers of TV network employees. The attack also coincided with the 5-year anniversary of the NotPetya ransomware outbreak. Elsewhere in Europe, Slovak Telecom, the Slovak subsidiary of Deutsche Telekom, was hit by a cyber attack over the weekend. According to a Facebook post from the company, the attack hit internal IT systems, causing downtime and interruptions for the telco's official website, mobile apps, and in-store and call center services. In the US, Bank of the West, a US subsidiary of French banking giant BNP Paribas, disclosed on Monday a cybersecurity incident involving its ITM network. In a data breach notification letter filed with the California OAG, the bank said that it found skimming devices installed on some of its ATMs. An investigation subsequently discovered that the ATM skimming devices were active between November 2021 and April 2022 and allowed fraud actors to steal payment card track data, including PIN numbers. This stolen information may have been used to create fake debit cards and attempt cash withdrawals, the bank said in its letter. In another story involving the California OAG, the office launched this week a new firearms portal, but a website was misconfigured and leaked the personal data of more than 2,800 Californians who owned a concealed carry permit, according to a report from The Reload. In other government-related news, CISA published guidance on Tuesday and urged government agencies and private sector companies that rely on Exchange Online email servers to switch and update their authentication flows from legacy protocols to modern alternatives by October 1, 2022. We also have loads of news from the cybercrime and malware scene. The first comes from the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, which published a security advisory warning that some fraud actors are now using stolen personal data and deepfake technology to pose as legitimate persons and apply for remote work positions in US companies. If they get hired, the fraud actors use these positions to steal financial data, intellectual property, or other corporate data from the victim company, the FBI said. In some ransomware news, Cisco Talos said it was able to de-anonymize the dark web infrastructure of four ransomware groups, including Dark Angels, Snatch, Quantum, and Nokoyawa. Cisco Talos researcher Paul Eubanks was able to do this by matching TLS certificate serial numbers between the gang's dark web domains and servers and IP addresses on the clear web. In another good news for the good guys, KISA, South Korea's cybersecurity agency, has released a free decryptor for the Hive ransomware. The decryptor only works with version 1 through 4 of the Hive ransomware, but not with the latest V5. The decryptor was released on Tuesday after KISA sponsored academic research into finding encryption flaws in the Hive code last year. Currently, the decryptor has instructions only in Korean, but an English version is coming soon. On the same note, security firm Avast also released a free decryptor for the hard item ransomware as well. Also staying with ransomware news, Sébastien Vachon-Desjardins, a former employee of the Canadian government who later transitioned into an affiliate for the Networker ransomware, has pleaded guilty in a case filed by US authorities for attacks against US hospitals. Vachon-Desjardins was detained in January 2021, received a 7-year prison sentence from Canadian authorities in February this year, and was extradited to the US to face similar charges in March. And since we're on the topic of arrests and legal cases, Russian news agency TASS reported last week that Russian authorities detained an FSB officer on charges of stealing cryptocurrency from a hacker. The suspect, named Dmitry Demin, lieutenant colonel for the FSB Samara's regional unit, was accused of stealing cryptocurrency during a search of a hacker's home in the city of Syzran last year. The FSB officer was detained after a complaint filed by the hacker himself, who estimated the losses at several million rubles. In other news, InfoSec investigative reporter Brian Krebs published a report this week where he alleges that Dmitry Starovikov, one of the two Russians sued by Google for operating the Glupteba malware botnet, is also behind AWM Proxy, a website that rents access to proxy servers, which are actually computers infected with malware. In ABT-related news, Kaspersky's ICS team published a very interesting report this week where they detailed the operations of a suspected Chinese APT that has compromised targets in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Malaysia. One attack in particular, against the Pakistani telco's infrastructure, jumps out as the group compromised the target's building automation software to use for lateral movement and persistence. On the same note of using non-standard devices for pivoting to local networks, the Lumen Black Lotus Labs team also published a report on Tuesday about ZuoRat, a new malware strain used by a suspected state-backed threat actor to compromise Soho routers and then pivot into their target's local network. Danny Adamaitis, a security researcher at Lumen's Black Lotus Labs, is here to talk more about their report.
My name is Danny Adamaitis, and I'm from Black Lotus Labs, the threat research team within Lumen Technologies. And I am here to talk about a likely nation-state campaign that uses Soho routers to perform highly covert targeting against North American and European networks. We assess that this campaign will start with remote code execution against the routers using known vulnerabilities. This would allow them to install the malware. Once on the router, the actor would begin to enumerate both the router itself as well as the adjacent local area network. We assess that they would use the information gleaned from this first step to determine if the router was of interest to the actor. If the router did not appear to be of value, they would have the agent delete itself. If the router was of high interest, they were able to then have the agent install itself as a daemon for persistence on the device. The threat actors then had a number of different tools at their disposal, some of which would allow the actor to surreptitiously sniff traffic to transmit the router. Other tools allow for more active capabilities, such as the ability to perform DNS hijacking that could allow them to redirect users to threat actor-controlled websites to harvest credentials. There is an even more insidious capability to perform HTTP hijacking. We assess that this will allow the actor to jump from the router to a device in the LAN, such as a laptop. Once on the device, they use a completely different set of Trojans, which utilize a completely different set of command and control infrastructure. We believe that they would first deploy a loader file that would reach out to a remote resource hosted on UK, a file sharing platform hosted by Alibaba. That resource was likely a fully functional remote access Trojan. Thus far, we have associated three remote access Trojans to this campaign. All three of these agents would allow the threat actor to upload files, download files, and persist on the workstation. We assess that this series of tools were designed for strategic long-term access to a highly coveted network.
Moving on to other news, Mandiant said that a Chinese threat actor they are tracking as Dragon Bridge unsuccessfully tried to mobilize public protests against an Australian mining company that was set to build a processing plant for rare earth minerals in Texas on behalf of the US government. Mandiant said the group was attempting to defend China's dominance in the rare earth minerals market in this particular campaign, but that the group had also been linked to past influence campaigns going as far back as 2019, where they also criticized the Biden administration's handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and even helped amplify claims made by Russian influence operations that the US was operating biological weapons labs in Ukraine. In terms of vulnerability news, we have a major story going on right now. Tens of cryptography libraries appear to have misimplemented the ED25519 digital signature algorithm, according to Konstantinos Chalkias, cryptographer at Mistan Labs and Meta's former lead cryptographer. Chalkias said these libraries are exposing one of the ED25519 private APIs, which can allow an attacker to extract private cryptographic keys from applications using the affected libraries. This includes cryptocurrency wallets, web servers, or encryption apps. Chalkias discovered the issue earlier this month, and his initial list of 26 libraries has now been expanded to 40 entries with the help of the open source community. Only one of the current 40 affected libraries have rolled out a patch at the time of this podcast. Also in vulnerability news, the team at SpectreOps has published research on how network access accounts, or NNA, used by the Windows System Center Configuration Manager, or SCCM, may leave artifacts like credential blobs on disk, exposing networks to attacks. The SpectreOps research team recommended removing NNA accounts from AD servers and transitioning networks to enhanced HTTP. And last but not least, GitHub announced on Monday that its security advisory database will now also include security alerts about vulnerabilities and supply chain attacks in Erlang and Elixir packages. Currently, the GitHub advisory database shows security alerts for PHP, Go, Java, JavaScript, .NET, Python, Ruby, and Rust. This concludes the news section of our podcast. In today's sponsor section, Piers Berry, Principal Security Researcher at Rumble Network Discovery, wanted to go over Kaspersky's recent report on an APT group compromising building automation software during an attack against a Pakistani telco.
Kaspersky researchers shared findings earlier this week on what appears to be an APT group targeting systems in Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Malaysia, including industrial control systems. Vulnerable targets are infected with a ShadowPad backdoor, becoming part of the attacker's command and control network. This campaign appears to have started in March 2021 with a likely intent of gathering data from targeted organizations and obtaining new access to other assets. While industrial control systems, or ICS, networks aren't a common target for attackers, they can provide a legitimate attack vector. Rumble's scanning logic is written from the ground up to work safely with ICS and OT networks, discovering all of your assets. Get to know your ICS and OT networks with Rumble today. Just visit rumble.run and start your free trial.
This is it for today's news. You can find links to our reports in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com or on our website at risky.biz.